Well, happy Mother's Day. Would all of you mothers like to stand that we could applaud you and recognize you? Yeah? Come on. I believe it was three years ago, they said that it would cost a husband, a dad, and the children about $141,000 a year without benefits to hire somebody to do all that a mother does. It's not bad. She should probably get three or four times that, but that's how the world is. Well, we would like to turn your Bibles, if you wouldn't mind, to the book of Proverbs, and we're going to use it as our platform this morning as we sidestep Romans 8. And we're going to look at the blessings that a mother is to a community. And when they're little, what you send out of the door in the morning is what San Diego gets. And I've always felt that about our kids. We always tried to pray for them in a little circle as they went out the door, that they'd be a blessing to their teachers and all the kids on their campuses from kindergarten on up. And the Lord honored that. Only two of them got expelled, so it was pretty good. Our prayers were working. But we asked the Lord to use them, and the school bus from the Poway School District would stop right at our driveway, actually, and pick up the neighborhood kids. So while we were praying for them, I realized as a young daddy with five kids, about maybe 34 years old, 35 years old, and I was training little evangelists and godly people. And if I would build them in the Lord when they get older like they are now, they wouldn't ask for as much money. But that didn't work. So, moms, we want to look at you today. And dads, you can get jealous if you want, but we're going to talk about the moms today. And you've all heard this every year since I've been in town. I've told this. It went all the way back to the 70s, that the number one day for the busiest for the telephone company is Mother's Day. That's amazing, huh? People calling mom and saying, hi, I love you. But dads don't feel badly because the number one day for collect calls is Father's Day. That's true. That is true. All right. Abraham Lincoln said, all that I am, ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. That was the President of the United States. Sophia Loren, the famous Italian movie actress, said, when you are a mother, you're never really alone in your thoughts. A mother has to think twice, once for herself and once for her child. So it's a sacrificial part of a life of a woman to be a mother, and that's very true, that we have to outsmart them, outthink them at times to keep them safe, really, for what we know can happen. So a mom is mentioned here along with the dad, and I thought we'd look at this and then allow the scriptures just to speak to our hearts. And I'd like to suggest this. First of all, if you weren't planning on calling your mom or sending her a Harry and David pair collection or something, you may want to call her today and tell her you love her. And if you have a problem with mom, you should call her and say, I'm sorry. You're the kid. I'm the kid. And we're to respect our parents. In fact, the Bible says, honor your mother and your father. And in your old age, it'll be beneficial. You'll live a longer life. So there is something about how a parent raises their child, because it is putting this child into society. And if you're walking with the Lord and doing your best, you know you're in a hostile environment. Spiritually, we're outnumbered 10 to 1 or 1,000 to 1. And we have to fit into this place that we're just pilgrims and sojourners. We're passing through, the book of Hebrews says. Just like Abraham, he was passing through. And we can't latch on to the things of this world and make that our life. So, as a young mother, you have the power in your life to shape this child for God's glory and raise the child according to biblical style of leadership and family and home. And that's a lot of authority, because when you and I die, if the Lord should tarry, the children that are left behind will be the salt of the earth. And I could not imagine what San Diego would look like today if just through our ministry, not all the other ministries that God has in San Diego, but all of the things that have happened just through us together. Somebody wrote me that yesterday, their holiday. Oh, it said First Assembly of God up in Phyllis Place. that they were having a name change to start a new era. And one of the things was June 3rd was their anniversary to launch a brand new church in San Diego. And I couldn't help but write the pastor and say, you know, June 3rd is 38 years ago that I actually drove to San Diego for my very first Bible study. And God has done so much. And that man said, I can't imagine where we would be if this many Christians hadn't been born again throughout San Diego. So I think we're at a place where the torch has been handed to another generation, my generation, and we are handing it to those of you that are younger. And in the church, my responsibility is help build you up in the Lord. And your responsibility is to stay close to the Lord and get off the milk bottle, go to the meat. Paul said, for a time you should be eating meat, you're still drinking milk. So there is a spiritual warfare going on. And in the Garden of Eden, the attack, the first ploy that Satan used against the human race was that of dividing the husband and the wife and catching the ear of the woman and speaking to her and broke her down. And then when the husband came, he realized he didn't really play the role of a husband protecting his wife, and she was fair game. And now he's a little bit guilty, and she talks him into eating of the same fruit. And so from that time on, there is a curse on the earth. And that curse has followed us all the way to Isaiah 47, I believe it is. It talks about a time when the earth is going to be utterly shaken and split open. And it talks about what physicists say is a polar axis shift, which about every 5,600 years, the pole, magnetic poles, they switch. And it sounds like Isaiah is showing that. In Hebrews, it says that in the end times, God will shake everything that can be shaken. So that means his bride, the church, and it means the individual people, you and me. So as a mother, you have the authority from heaven to raise a child in the fear of the Lord. And when he's older, if he departs, when he's older, he shall come back. Because God answers mothers' crying prayers, and he will bless you. So, Father, as we look at Mother's Day here in San Diego, we would like to thank you for our moms. And many times we don't know the sacrifices our mothers made for us. And when we get a little older in our teen years, we think that we can talk back to her or we can break away from her and not take her instruction anymore. So I would pray for everyone here today that they would take these verses to heart and that they would let you minister through them. We pray for the mothers. We pray that you'll give them wisdom, strong wisdom. God, you said that children are heritage of the Lord. They're your children, they're your heritage, and we are like custodians for you. And what an honor that you would let us shape a child. And so for these ladies that stood today, hundreds of them, that they would be encouraged and strengthened in the heart. And Lord, for every mommy that is here that has lost a child, we would pray for them that your Holy Spirit would mend that deep, deep, deep wound in their hearts, that you would bless them today. You would comfort them today. And Lord, for those that are pregnant here, we would ask that you would let their bodies be strong and healthy to deliver this little boy or girl or triplets. We would just pray for them that in their wombs, as David said in Psalm 139, Father, that you saw my substance and you protected me in my mother's womb. May you bless the moms that are pregnant and the human children that are going to be birthed in this audience. And then, Lord, we pray for every mom here that is overwhelmed for whatever the reason is. They know they still have to do their family chores. They probably have to continue preparing the meals, and yet they don't want to. They're tired. They're overwhelmed. We pray for them that you will make it a joy for them to see the role of mother. Bless them, strengthen them, and fill them with your wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 20, verse 20. Proverbs 20, verse 20. Would you read it out loud with me, please? Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. Okay, let's do it one more time with a little bit of gusto. Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. Deep darkness. There's some things in that statement that you say, well, why is that about Mother's Day? Because it is a verse, and there are many others, that exalts a woman. Some religions put women down. They make them wear hot robes and stuff and cover their faces and their identity. They have no identity when they're out in public. So I would like to say that this is God's wisdom for us. And the reason being that he is saying that whoever curses his mother and the father, but we're talking about mothers, he calls her a dirty name, or Jesus told the story of a young man that was wicked in his heart because he said to his mother and father, the blessings you have are because of me. And Corban was the word that was used in the Bible in the New Testament there. And what he was saying is that maybe he's out of college now and he's got money and he's supporting his mom and dad, or he's helping them out of a tight spot financially, a little bit older now, and he's arrogant. But whoever, the king or the poorest person in the neighborhood, curses his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. Deep darkness. Curses. There's two words in the Bible for curses, basically, in the Old Testament. One is a curse that you are seeing put upon somebody, like the earth was cursed. It wasn't designed with weeds or with aphids or little bugs that'll come onto your plants and kill them. It wasn't designed to have old trees in the forest as you're rafting down the river and you look up and they're all brown and they're hundreds of years old, they're dead. Everything was alive, and it was built and designed to be alive and to stay alive. But when Adam and Eve sinned, a curse came on the earth. And the sad thing is that when God created the heavens and the earth, the first four words in the Bible, and if you can believe those four words, you're on your way to understanding the rest of the Bible. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. He saw that it was good. When he created all the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, he said, it is good. When he made all the fruit and the trees, he said, it's good. Everything was good. It was great. But in the human nature, he had programmed into us the ability to think for ourselves. He didn't have to make mankind that way. And we didn't come from monkeys, that's for sure. But he did program in us the ability to have free will. And how we use that free will ultimately gives us the destination where we'll be living for eternity once we die and leave this body. So, the person that curses his mother, what does it mean that his lamp, what do you mean lamp? Is somebody come in and turn off the switch in the living room that turns the lamp on? But not only that he uses this metaphor, it's going to be put out into deep darkness. Now, there aren't too many verses in the Bible that talk about deep darkness, but Jesus talked about deep darkness more than anybody in the Bible. Now, we know that there are three words, hell, Hades, and Sheol, and also the pit, sometimes it is called, where souls go and wait until the great white throne judgment that they would be judged. And Jesus said that, what a horrible thing, but to be in heaven, if you were an atheist, or you hated God or you just were indifferent to God, to be in heaven would be hell for a person like that. To be a godless person and to spend eternity with God, that would just be living hell for you if you didn't accept his plan of salvation. So God is really gracious. He did not design the deep pit, the deep darkness, for men and women and boys and girls. I think you all know that. It wasn't designed that God had this spiritual prison, penal colony somewhere in the middle of the earth with cells that are in it, and people just sit there in agony all day long. He designed it for the 1/3 of the angels that left heaven. that they would be punished in this prison at the lowest parts of our earth. And of course, the deeper you go to the core, the hotter it gets. And so we know that the Psalms tell us that hell enlarges herself, and it is always working every day, because the slave labor is like Pharaoh had to build the pyramids, and they had to build them with the bricks and for the houses and whatever the king wanted. But because he was so angry against God, he told them they'd have to build their bricks without straw, which would be somewhat of an impossibility in those days. So when we talk about deep, this is what's important, that God is talking about a subject matter that is eternal. Motherhood is eternal. We know that in the Bible it teaches us that there will be no marrying or giving in marriage once we get to heaven. For we shall be like the angels. There is a crossing right there of a couple thoughts. One is that we're told by some Bible people that there were giants in the land and they had sex with the Jewish women, and these other giants were produced. And then others say that the sons of God came and knew women and they bore forth children, that these were aliens, and that the aliens were the fallen angels. And when they had sex with a woman, they had an offspring that was really bad. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, except we know that angels don't marry or given in marriage, so there'd be no reason for them to have a sexual reproduction system. So we don't know about that, but we do know about this with angels, that Jesus himself said, they behold, for children, their angels behold the face of God daily, which is as if they get their daily printout of what your child's going to be into on Monday at 4 o'clock, and they're ready for it, and they're going to try to help your family. Deep darkness. That is the backside of blessing. The blessing is that a mother is like a police officer, in a sense. You don't mess with police officers. If you shoot a police officer or harm a police officer, you better believe there'll be 20 to 100 of them on you in just a couple of minutes. That's just one thing they don't put up with, and society should not let it happen and come down strong with justice. A mom has that position, that you look at her and you know, whoops, that's mom. We don't say anything right now. Zip it right now. You treat her with respect and honor. And if a husband and the daddy exalts her to the position that she is in God's eyes, then you have a marriage that is reflecting heaven upon the children, if you've never opened the Bible to your children. But if you're a new parent or a young Christian, may I encourage you to open the Bible daily with your children. Do little Bible stories with them when they're 3, 4, 5 years old. And get them used to acting it out so that as they become a teenager, they realize the Bible's living. It's alive. You can sing with it. You can dramatize with it. You can make a personification of something out of it. So deep darkness shows us that that's the curse that is going to come upon the person that mistreats their mother. So one is a curse where it brings forth, you know, an act that'll come back like this. And the basic meaning from Strong's Exhaustive Concordance and with the TWOT, the Theological Words of the Old Testament, they both come up with this, that it is the root of a word that is used in light of swiftness or fast. So this word here, if you curse your mother, very quickly the judgment's going to come back on you because you've broken God's law. God's exalting the mother. And then secondly, it is quick and swift. That means that your tongue gets ahead of your brain, and when you try to curse your mom, that it's going to happen very quickly, and you won't be able to reel those words back in. You've done your damage. That's why you need to pray and ask God to forgive you if there's anything between you and your mom. And maybe your mother's in heaven now, or your mother no longer speaks with you. That doesn't make a difference. You can talk to God about the things in your heart that you know were wrong if she's gone, And if she's not talking, you can get a plane ticket or drive your Vespa and get down to Alabama and go see Mom and talk to her. I was on a police call not long ago, and we went into a senior citizens care center, and my mother had been there. So to go to that call of a threatened of a murder, that I had something else in my mind. I was thinking about my mom and how difficult it was to see her going backwards with her health. And one day I walked to leave, and at the end of the hallway, the doors are covered with a wallpaper of a library. You know what I'm talking about? Books. But it's not really books in a library. But they do that so that the people that are inside don't see it as an exit, because they're always trying to escape. So they don't want to be under the control of somebody. So one day, it was a rough day for my mom. That was the day that I came, and she said, "Have you seen Michael?" And I said, "Yeah, he's closer than you think." And I began to realize our relationship would no longer be the same. So I was walking down the hallway, and you punch a code in, and then you push the door. Your loved one is not to see the code, or even that you can push a door. I put the code in, I heard the click, I went to hit the bar handle, and I heard Michael, and only Sandy and my mom call me Michael. So I turned around, and there she was, all 91 years of her. And she looked at me and said, "Michael, I know this is very hard for you." I went back and hugged her, said, "Well, in a sense it's hard, but in another sense, I'm happy. And I know that you had to take care of your mother, and it changed your life." So we prayed together, and I left. A curse comes upon the person that is going to curse the mother. And what this word means is slightness. It means that you're slighting your mom. You're not giving her. It literally means it is less than that deserved by or divinely intended for the object. Otherwise, this word that he chose to use means that God's plan is that in every household, in every marriage, or every single parent household, the mother is blessed by God. And it is the dad's responsibility to bring the spiritual aspect of family into the home and just make it very clear. This is Mom. You don't mess with her, you'll end up messing with me. And we learn to raise our children with grace, unmerited favor. And no matter what they got into, they knew and we knew we would forgive. And when we forgave, we would forget. So they cause a little ruckus at school, and you go down to school and you talk to the principal, say, "Yikes." And then you try to change their thinking and working with them, but always in grace, because grace involves love, and love involves forgiveness. And forgiveness on Mother's Day is powerful. God will bless you if you just simply call or go see her and say, "Remember Mom, da 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 da? Oh yeah, I've never forgot. Moms do not forget. Oh, I ask you to forgive me." Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And if you have your mother gone, then God knows your heart. And you can take this anchor that's pulling you down and let it go. Your mother was nothing more than a woman like you. Well, unless you're a man. And she was doing her best. And you could say, "Compared to what?" And you put her down. And she was just doing her best. So you can't judge her, because your lamp goes out. And swiftly, God will come into your life for slighting your mom, and he'll deal with you. You may not see it because you're walking as a carnal person, and your mom is not in the picture of she gets any more respect. And God says, yes, she does. So when he chose this word, it meant that you were not giving to that object that either the position deserved, like a police officer, or intended by heaven. You're slighting your mom. Intending a lowered position is what it meant. I don't care if you're a mom. Well, God cares. And you slight her and you put her down that you're over her now. That's wrong. Intending a lowered position, and technically it means to curse. So that's how they got that word, curse. Now, it's important to see, if you look at it, the word lamp. His lamp. So it's ownership. His lamp will be put out. So what does he mean by his lamp? When David died, it said the lamp of Israel was put out. So we know that David was a pretty bright character, very smart and quick. He was a street kid that came all the way up to be the king of the country. And he had a heart after God. He always sought God. He was a sinful man. There is not a person in the Bible that's written about that didn't have sin. All of us are sinners, but we're saved by grace through faith, not of any works, lest a man should boast. And I just finished a literature class yesterday, and so happy. It took me 2 weeks to write 1,500-word final exam, and boy, I was sweating it. And I started looking up this word, and I was looking at the assignment. And when you think of a person as in a role that's above you, or a role that maybe isn't above you, but it has authority over you, you're actually giving respect to that office as much as you are to the person themselves. And this is the problem that has happened in our country. That people have become council members, boards of this and boards of that, House of Representatives, senators, and they think it's theirs. The accoutrements of power and luxury. Have to have a hotel suite. Can't stay in just a double bed, you know, Motel 6 or something. Everything's, you know, just built out so big. They live large on taxpayers' money. So when you see this being corrupted, you will see the nation being corrupted, because we are a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. And they say, no, we're the government and we're over the people. Never, ever was it designed for that. Equal to us, that they hear our pleas and this is where we want to go and this is how it's going to be done. And then they do what we ask them to do. So the word for this is his lamp. It's ownership. So it is something that a man or a woman could possess. And you want to know what this lamp is. His lamp will be distinguished and put out in deep darkness. So when David died, the Bible did say that the lamp of Israel went out. He was so bright. He was a fierce leader. People loved him. He was very bold and brash. He was good with the sword and he was good with the throne. He is good with everything. But yet he was a man and he slipped and he stumbled many, many times, but he always asked God's forgiveness. And Israel's lamp went out, so you and I can have a lamp that goes out. In Psalm 119, it says that the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So if there's a lamp, little oil container with a wick in it, and you light the wick and it burns from that oil, and at nighttime when you're a shepherd like David, and you're walking those narrow paths, and you're trying to settle all the sheep down in the flock, you need to be able to see when it's dark. So God says in an allegorical way that the word of God is the lamp unto my feet, and then a light for my path. So he was talking on a spiritual level from the heart and the understanding of a shepherd boy. And that's what you and I need to get to, is that we take what God has and we merge it with reality and we live it in love. Because love covers a multitude of sin. And the lamp is put out. You have a lamp. The question is it out or does it need some new oil? Because Jesus told a parable of 10 virgins that were on their way to a wedding feast. And in the culture, the wedding started when the groom said. And so everybody was in anticipation. They knew the wedding was going to be on Thursday, but they didn't know what time. They knew it could be any day of that week. And so the bride and her maids have to be dressed and ready to go. Now, concerning us as Christians in the church, it says that the bride has prepared herself. We are getting ready right now for evacuation earth. And we need to be ready. And we need to see the Bible as the lamp unto my feet, that I'm not going to walk astray. I can see where I'm going. And then it is opening up my pathway because it's so narrow. And David had been in those narrow spots. And he'd walked alongside the cliffs and said, no, I can't take him this way. I'll go down and up the other side. And at night, while the sheep are sleeping, the shepherd's still working. And so as he mentions the lamp, parallel to Israel going dark when David died, and then in Psalm 119, the word is a lamp. I'd like you to turn to Revelation, the very last book in the Bible. And this is very important for us because it's Jesus, after he's been crucified and in the grave, he has come out and he is speaking to the churches. In chapter 2 and chapter 3, we have the letters to the seven churches. And in chapter 1, he says on the Isle of Patmos in the Mediterranean, verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. He interprets the mystery. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. So we today, or over at the Rock, at First Assembly, or Claremont Emmanuel Baptist, or you name the church, we today are the lampstand. And the Holy Spirit is using us to shed light all over San Diego. We're a big glowing light right now, spiritually. And then we trickle away and go our own distances, and now we're little sparkling pieces of light. So it's like pulling in to fuel up before the gas prices go up on Friday or Tuesday. And you try to find the cheapest place. And you're working on your iPhone. Oh, I found it over here. I can save a nickel a gallon or 10 cents or 20 cents. And you go over there very quickly. So light is sprinkled throughout the county. And your heart is right before God. So you are part of a much bigger picture than you can see. So the lamp in this scene is the lampstand is the church, and the church is bringing brightness to the community. But then you are, in the same way, a light of the world, Jesus said. In Revelation, he said to these people, if they don't shape up, I will remove their lampstand. And you know, you go to those seven churches today on a tour. We won't be doing that when we go in September to Israel, but When you go to that area of the world, you do not see the church. He removed the lampstand. And you are a crowd here larger than when they gathered there in those days. So you have great responsibility before God Almighty to let your light so shine that men see your good works, Jesus said, and they give glory to God. It's not that you're doing good works, but good works are being accomplished through you, and you realize that. And God is going to honor you for being a clean vessel and a pure vessel. But if the lampstand is polluted, then God removes it because it's polluting other people when he designed it to be a blessing. So Moses went through the same thing. And you go back to Exodus chapter 1, and just listen as I read to you what it was for Moses and how God used this concept all the way in the beginning of a new nation being formed. Maybe you're thinking of starting a small business. You are going to put your kids in another school. There's something new that has come up in your family. You have to make a decision, and you're looking to God, and he will speak to you. But follow me along as we see this, how the Jews were led out of Egypt. These are the names of the children of Israel, verse 1, chapter 1. Who came to Egypt. Now each man had his own family, or his own household. And these are the sons that came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 people. for Joseph was in Egypt already. 70 people, and he started the entire Jewish race over again. 70 people. That was one extended family. Now, the children of Israel were fruitful. Joseph died, all of his brothers, and all that generation. So you're getting ready to watch the generation that is, since January of 2009, been turning the age of 60 at the rate of 10 to 13,000 people a year, 1,000 a month, approximately, in our country. We're an aging country. There was a woman that wasn't Planned Parenthood, but this week on CBS News, it was a large organization like that that said, you know what, I'm stepping aside, and they wanted to know why she was stepping aside, and said, because I'm older, and I may be hindering the organization, and we just don't have enough young people to step in. Well, duh, you're about killing young people. You bored them, you're losing them. It was just so stupid. And the newscaster didn't say it's so stupid, but they gave you the hint that they wanted to. There arose the children of Israel were fruitful, increased abundantly, multiplied, grew in exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. There arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. Very important application to your life, that you're in your comfort zone. Everything is controlled by you in your life. You've got it really wrapped around, and nobody's going to break in unless you let them into your circle of light. And here we see this, that a pharaoh ruling over Egypt who didn't know Joseph. The previous pharaoh loved Joseph because Joseph was his ambassador to the world. He was his right-hand man, number two in the nation. And you can get into a position where you're so settled that somebody that doesn't know Joseph is going to now be over you, and they could care less. Your neighbor allowed, you know, that fence to be over 2 feet into their yard, but the new neighbor is saying, you pay for it, you're over into my yard, 2 feet, move it back, buddy. I don't care what kind of deal you used to get, we own the company now, no discounts. A new pharaoh can arise in many areas of your life. So take advantage of what God has given you with the light that you have, and be blessed. Moms are so important because God has made them important. Look at this before we go home. A new king was over Egypt, and he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we are. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it happen in the event of war, that they also join our enemies and fight against us from the inside, and so go up out of the land. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, the town of Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage. A great picture of the devil and the human race. He's made life tough in mortar and in brick and all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives. Now look at this, moms. Of whom the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women, and you see them on their birthing stools, if it's a son, then you should kill him. If it's a daughter, then she can live. But the midwives feared God, and they did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they saved the male children. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they're lively, and they give birth before the midwives can come. it worked. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. When you stand up for life, God will allow you to do well. If you stand up and you preach or talk or propagate your propaganda that life is valuable. You can see how insidious the Pharaoh of this world is. He made it down at the lower level of the schools and then worked it up to the elementary, junior high, senior high, into the colleges and the universities that we all came from monkeys. And then he went after all future babies, like you're going to see here, and tries to kill them through abortion. Well, you can see how easily a mind that's 25 years old or 30 years old, that they have been indoctrinated by the system that abortion's okay. There's no value to that. It's not a person until it comes out of the womb. And so the heart has been deceived, and the heart gets hardened, and there's no value for what is inside the womb. A boyfriend will say to a girlfriend, look, we can't have this baby. We can't get married. We're still trying to finish school. Go have an abortion. Well, okay, I guess so. It's not that. It's life. And when these midwives heard that they were to kill the baby boys, which would cause the population to go up, but war is a way to wean population by men being lost, their lives being lost. And so Pharaoh comes along and he says, this is it. And the midwives say, oh, what shall we do, God? We will spare and hide these children. And this is the society you and I live in now, the Egyptian Pharaoh reign. And the heart has been trained to have no real emotion. And the value of life is not there. In a sign of the end of the world, Paul, writing to Timothy, was very clear about it. There'll be loss of natural affection in the last days. Natural affection. And what are we doing? We're going without any affection. The human is not safe in the womb. And it's really not too safe when it gets out of the womb. And all of a sudden, you've got a group of people that have no idea of the sanctity and the beauty and the preciousness of life. I don't think there's one baby that would cry out from the womb and say, yeah, kill me. But they can't speak for themselves. So mothers, you get to speak. You have authority from heaven to endorse life with your children. And yes, they can be a pain at times. And they can wear you out. And they can be a struggle. And they can have their hissy fits. And they can just scream at the top of their lungs. But you have been given the power by God to love this child, not to build walls up. And when you're so frustrated with them because they're growing up like you, you're frustrated with them. That's when you let go. It's his lamp. It's ownership. This child belongs to God. Your responsibility is to raise it in honor of God. And God will do the very best that could be done. Deep darkness. We are told that there is a pit that is dark, that when a person dies on planet Earth and they don't know God, they go down into the pit. If they know the Lord, they leave their bodies and they go to heaven and get a new body. And everybody waits for the judgment. So here we see that the midwives were delivering babies. And it says this. So when the house of Levi went and took a wife as a daughter of Levi, so the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him and daubed it with asphalt and pitch. And he put the child in it. And he laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be happening to this little baby. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him. And she said, this is one of the Hebrew children. And then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, well, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the young girl went and called the child's mother. And then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. The child grew up, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. So here is a mom that is vicariously a mom by being a midwife. And here's a mom, a princess, that apparently isn't married or couldn't have babies. And this one child comes floating along in this reed basket, just calmly down the Nile River, as the princess went to take a bath. And her guards went out and somebody got that basket, opens it up. It was Moses. That's where the term Holy Moses came from. Holy Moses. It's a... Don't quote me on that, but it does tell us, though, that Moses was the first basket case in the Bible. They've been around for a long time. So your life as a woman, if you are raising children or going to raise children, you have a very high clearance. You're at the top. You're not at the bottom. You have gifts from God that the daddy doesn't have. And they need their mother. So I do not want to let anybody walk away feeling sad because they lost their children or there was a dispute over the children. God is working with your children. Hannah, if you want to read it before you go to bed tonight, was a woman that really loved God in 1 Samuel chapter 1. She wept and she cried before God and she couldn't have babies. And she just said, I just want to bring forth a male child, God, please. Well, she had a husband that was the right husband. And this was a man should grow up to be a father and a husband like this. His name was Elkanah. And Elkanah, when they went every year to the temple to make their yearly sacrifice, he gave to the second wife, Peninnah. And Peninnah had lots of children and always mocked the other wife, Hannah, that she couldn't have children. Sad story. That's a lot of tension in the house, right? Two women in the house is a lot of tension. And I don't think that he was very smart to have two wives. But Fertile Myrtle, as I call her, Peninnah, she was always mouthing off. And she went up to the temple with her husband and with Hannah. And he looked over and he saw her crying. It says, but he provided a sacrifice for Peninnah and her children. But he gave a double portion to Hannah. It's a love story that he lavished her. And he said, is not my love for you worth more than 10 sons? Wow, that's not Shakespeare or Flowery or anything, guys. But I love you. If you gave me 10 sons, my love would still be bigger than that. And to have a male child to carry on the family name was big. So finally she goes up and she's kneeling down and she's just disturbed inside and she's praying. We're getting to a place in Romans where we will learn that praying in the Spirit is a gift from God. To be baptized with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit see what's in your life and know what God's will is for you. There are times that you cannot articulate what you want to say. And you're just sitting there on the couch. But the Spirit knows what you're saying. So he takes that to the Lord and maybe even inspires us a little bit that we've grown in a different way. It's a gift from God that we can speak. And that's what she was doing. And Eli is sitting up on his seat that was high and elevated in the worship center there. And he looked down there and he thought she was a temple prostitute from somewhere else for the holidays. He said, woman, what are you doing in here drunk? And for he perceived that her lips were moving, but nothing was coming out of it. It was her heart. And she said, kind sir, please forgive me. I'm not drunk. I'm a woman in distress. I've petitioned God that I could have a baby boy for my husband. And I would dedicate him to the service of God if I could get pregnant. And Eli looked at her and pronounced a prophecy and a blessing upon her. So shall it be next year at this time that you shall give birth to a male child. And for sure, she gave birth to a little guy named Samuel. And he became a judge and a priest and a prophet. And he blessed the nation of Israel. His lamp was used to radiate Jesus. And that little boy grew up working in the temple. And God called him one night. And he said, speak, Lord, your servant hears. And God said, I'm going to do work in the land that if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. And I think God's going to do a work in the land. And if he told us, we wouldn't believe it. But don't you agree that God needs to move in our country? We know there's nothing that man can do, but with God, you can do all things. So in closing, we say, happy birthday, Mom. You may be like a Hannah that you're crying out, maybe not just for a baby, you've had the babies, but there's so much tension and you just, oh, Lord, he knows what you're saying. You cry out. You may be a mother that raised little Samuel. You could be the mother that raised King David. You could be the mother and you can go on and on and on. Or you could be the mother that gave no spiritual care to your child and he ended up like one of the several wicked kids to destroy God's work. Charles Spurgeon once says, the devil does not count a man lost as long as he has a good mother alive. Because he knows that mom's praying for that child. What a gift that we have from God, that we can not disgrace our mother, but we can honor our mother and put her in the rightful place. Jesus put Mary in the rightful place, and he didn't venerate her and lift her up and say, now, if you want to get saved, pray to her, because she's my mother. No, let's get it down to reality. On the cross, as he's dying, he looked at John and said, behold your mother. And he looked at his mother and said, behold your son. And from that day on, John took Mary into his household and provided for her till the day she died. She was at the first prayer meeting in the book of Acts, chapter 1. 120 people were praying, and the Holy Ghost fell. Peter got up and preached in the open air, and 3,000 people gave their heart to Jesus. So take the authority you have, moms, and humble yourself in the sight of God, and he will exalt you in due time. And remember, ladies, that Peter spoke to the young women especially. He said, dress modestly. And do not try to show yourself by the braiding and the plaiting of hair or the makeup of the eyes or the jewelry. Don't use the external to attract a man. But in God's eyes, a quiet and a meek spirit is of great value. Wow. In God's eyes, a woman that is meek and quiet in spirit, and she's a mom, imagine the value of that. And for you single moms, I will encourage you with this. My mom was a single mom, and she had two of her three sons living at home with her. And we were in a $75 a month apartment. And she struggled. And I was too much to handle, be honest with you, for her. And I look back now and realize that God was answering my grandma's prayers all along. And that God was allowing us to come to the end of ourselves that we could take his grace, his mercy, and his forgiveness. And he did it so lovingly. It was like standing beneath a liquid waterfall of love. When he filled me with the Holy Spirit, it was just amazing. And he wants to do the same for you. And if you are a single mom, be assured. I can tell you looking back that though things don't look bright today, they are going to be okay. Because your lamp's not going to be taken out of its place. And that deep darkness you will never see. And it is very hard for somebody to step over the prayers of their grandparents on their way to hell. Or then finally to be at the gate of hell and your mom's standing there. And all those prayers for this little child next to you will be answered in God's timing. So trust him. We thank all of you ladies and the moms that are here that have come because a friend has invited them, their son or daughter has invited them. And look at it from the light of Scripture. If you ever curse your mother, you're going to be in big trouble. And some of the trouble that you face today could simply be the curses upon you already for how you've treated your mom. Does that make sense? So let us stand and let us pray. Our God in heaven, Again, you overwhelm us. We take for granted the office, the position, the reality of mom and mother. And Lord, we just thank you that your creation and your design is so marvelous. That you had this mother design and you put that into the DNA of Eve and Adam. It's been passed on all the way to San Diego. And Lord, we would like to pray that your Holy Spirit would do work starting in all the churches in San Diego. That people would see the rightful place for their mother and their father and give them the due respect and not to slight them or pull them down. And we pray that you'll accept our thank yous today from all of us for giving us the mother that we have. May your heart, Lord, please touch every woman here that they would see how much you love them and that you would bless these women, their moms, to strengthen them. And then, God, we ask for all the women that aren't moms yet that your hand would be upon them to keep them from the wrong people. And so, Lord, we thank you for birth. And we thank you for the love of a man for a woman. And we thank you that it is so precious that that love can bring a greatness to a relationship. And yet, Father, you know that we're living in a society that does not respect marriage. And it doesn't respect motherhood. So we're asking that you would change it, starting right here with us. That we would be grateful for mothers. So honor the families that are standing right now. Honor them, Father, please. And let your light flood them, that their lampstands would be polished, clean, and filled with oil. Let their light shine for your glory, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I started to tell you about the 10 virgins. And in the wedding, if he's a jokester, the boyfriend can say, okay, blow the trumpets. At 2 in the morning, we'll start this ceremony. And apparently it was something like that, that Jesus said, is the middle of the night. And they were all dressed in their gowns and ready to go. And they got halfway to where they were walking. And 5 of the 10 were out of oil for their lamps. And so they said to the 5 that have oil, give us of your oil that we can finish this journey. And they said, hey, hold it. Go back to the marketplace. That's where you buy oil. You should have planned ahead. What a picture of the rapture of the church to plan ahead. It could happen today, just like that. We'd be standing in the throne room. So take those 10 virgins and realize, in your life right now, who's draining you of your oil? Who is surrounding you or pulling you down that your light is very dim? Get them out of your life or get stronger in the Lord and convert them. Let your light give the path, but we know this, half of them were not prepared. So they turned around. Since it was dark, the marketplace wasn't open. They probably had to wait some time for sunrise for the shopkeeper. And the other 5 went in, and the Lord, the host, closed the door. The other 5 show up and say, hey, here we are. Said, depart from here. We don't know you. And he closed a little door window. Don't be a person that looks like you're going to the wedding feast in heaven and living a dual life. Be dressed and prepared, for we do not know which hour he is coming. But Paul the Apostle said, comfort yourself with these words, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout of the angel, the archangel, and the sound of the trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and those of us that are alive and remain when he comes, shall be together with him forever. So, take this to your heart and say, let's treat mom like a queen. Let's bless her. And let's just love our mothers like never before. And you, husbands, you love them like never before. And strengthen them and your position before the throne of God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May his love overflow you. May there be great laughter and joy in your heart and in your home. And will you walk humbly and peaceably with all men as much as it lies within you? And may you stand for righteousness and speak out and let your light so shine that darkness is not going to take over your neighborhood because you're shining your light everywhere. May God keep you. May he bless you. And I ask that God would overflow you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.